Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, August 6th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins as always. And Dwayne, doing a daily show is always fun in Major League Soccer because when we say there's never a dull moment, there's never a dull moment. We never know who's about to come to this league or to leave this league. Wayne Rooney on his way back to England to play and coach Derby County in a Reggie Dunlop type of role in 6 months' time from now.
Reggie Dunlop. For our American listeners, that's a Slapshot reference. He called hockey movie classic. Maybe somebody has seen it anyway, but yeah, the player coach role. Everyone loves a good player coach. It seems like just yesterday I was standing in a, speaking of hockey, I was standing in like a no ice hockey arena talking about Wayne Rooney. I legitimately was standing in the middle of a hockey rink in the summer in a park in Toronto when I first was talking about Wayne Rooney coming to DC United last year, and I was actually playing the devil's advocate for a lot of people that were suggesting that he wouldn't perform, that he was a bad signing. And that certainly was a common suggestion last year. Certainly, Kevin, again, we pulled the numbers up a few minutes ago before we came on the field. He worked out fine, just fine, right?
Yeah, he did. If you look at his career right now, as of today with DC United, he played 43 games so far, 23 goals, and that's outside the assist and outside of the great moments he did procure for DC United last year. Remember that great assist he had from midfield to Acosta, and the goal, the two goals he scored from midfield as well, plus the great resurgence of DC United last year after he came around. And the last, 4 months of the season, DC United might have been the best team in Major League Soccer. They just ran out of steam in the playoffs. But he did bring a great energy for the opening of Audi Field. And the success of the opening of Audi Field can be linked to the presence of Wayne Rooney as well. So I don't think it's anything that DC done, like nothing personal that DC United has done. Unless maybe they wanted him to play a more defensive role. But what I think happened is this is the first time in Wayne Rooney's career where he's outside of England with his club, saying that his day-to-day life is outside of England. And it's literally a year to the day. And he has found a way to get a player coaching job. And so because Wayne Rooney was under contract until 2021, until the end of 2021 with DC United, Dwayne, there's a transfer amount, there is some financial incentive for DC to have done it, but both clubs, so Derby County and DC, have not made those financial terms available for the public to know. But still interesting that living outside of England didn't last that long for Rooney, and we kind of thought it was going to be the case a bit too last year.
Yeah, well, forget live outside of England. Live outside of greater Liverpool, Manchester, right? So he grew up in that, the northwest of England, in that area there, and has played his entire career there. His wife is from there. And look, I hate to get into Yoko Ono-type situations here. Certainly to do a throwback to MLS context, we certainly heard a lot about this with Jermaine Defoe as well, in terms of others around him wishing to be back in England. And again, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus if they make a choice that relates to the well-being of their family. And certainly it is something that I think we as sports fans fail to recognize, fail to include in our interpretation of results. So if, in fact, he is going back to make her happy, how can you really blame her? Now, look, there is a trend, though, and I think it is something that you need to look into. And I don't want to make a broad stroke and say all English players are like this, because clearly, you know, you look at David Beckham as an alternative, a guy that was quite the global traveler, right? Loved the line, like, wanted to be in L.A., is going to be in Miami, has, you know, played in Milan, right? Played in Paris. Like, that's another Englishman there. It's
you
not
can't
a
really,
broad stroke, but
I agree, but you can't really compare Victoria Beckham. Victoria Posh Spice Beckham to Wayne Rooney's wife into the fact that wherever Victoria Beckham and David Beckham goes, it becomes about them, and they're going to be treated very differently than someone not as famous. Even though you're famous, it might not be as famous. So there's always that. You're Victoria Beckham wherever you go, LA or so. LA is a bit more glamorous than DC, I have to admit too. But it is, for me, a bit of a wasted opportunity, because if you look at DC United, with Acosta wanting to leave in the offseason, and that just barely happened, like very, very close to happen, like a question of facts, not receiving in time or something, and Acosta's still in DC, Rooney might be gone, DC United might have missed their opportunity in their very short window, I agree, but they might have missed the opportunity if they don't win this year with Rooney, to have already an offseason with 3-4 major roster change to take place.
For sure. And look, he was brought in to try and drum up support and attention to the club in the lead up to the opening of Anfield. And in that, he was successful. He certainly had DC United moving in the right direction last year, him and Acosta. Their partnership was really effective in the latter parts of last year. That's why a lot of people picked DC United to be among the MLS Cup favorites this year. It has not worked out that way. DC United has only won twice since May. They're a team in a tailspin. I don't know whether this is a weight off their back that's going to allow Wayne Rooney to sort of push forward and play with the passion and heart that is needed to drive DC United up the standings, or whether this is going to be a distraction that's going to cause them to continue to spiral. We won't know that. And look, I will say this about Wayne Rooney, and, you know, everyone knows what my club affiliation is in England, and I repeat it every time I talk about someone who used to play for United, just to make sure people understand I'm not making this about that. What I am going to say is that Wayne Rooney has never shown a lack of desire wherever he's played. He has been always very passionate in how he plays. He has always played very aggressively. And I cannot see him and do not think that he will mail it in, so to speak, the rest of the way. I'm saying this from my own objective observation of Wayne Rooney's career. So I don't think that's necessarily the case. But whether it affects his teammates around him and the morale is another story that we can't really understand until we see them play.
Yeah, no, I agree. Imagine you're a roster player in DC United. You're number 12 or 13. You play mostly, but you don't start, or you start one every three game or something. And the arrival of Rooney has revitalized that team and given them an inch and a half to every player more of confidence. And now he leaves the ship before the project's over? I don't know. It's always optics, but I think it's more of a personal side with Rooney. And then now it makes me look at all the interviews he did during All-Star Week and look at them in a different light, and maybe trying to find a little tidbit of nugget of information that would have led us on to this decision that has been taken. And it's official now. It was a rumor yesterday, a big rumor coming out of England. It's official now. Derby County has announced it. But let's look at the Derby County side of this. What does it say for Derby County? They lost their manager, Frank Lampard. He has taken over Chelsea this year. And Derby County finished 6 of 24 in the championship last year, last of the playoffs. But they were battling for a promotion spot up until they got eliminated from the playoffs. If you're Derby County, you're looking at your 2019-2020 season, maybe your last in the championship. You have aspirations to go to the Premier League. Do you think a player like Wayne Rooney is what they were missing? Or maybe are they erring on the side of too much conservatism by choosing a player like Wayne Rooney, which might lack some speed? A championship is not easy to play at. You thought MLS was tough. Championship's going to be quite a handful. I don't know. What does it say for the on-the-field side of this transfer for Derby County?
Yeah, from Derby's perspective, I think it's a fair gamble. The championship is a very physical, very demanding league in a lot of ways. And I think if you go in the MLS corners of the internet right now, there are a lot of people that are trying to make jokes about him going to a quote-unquote retirement league in the championship. But, I don't think that's quite the case. I watched a lot of championship football over the weekend. The frantic nature of it reminds me a lot of MLS. In fact, I think it's stayed involved.
It reminds me even of CONCACAF to a second. You know that nervousness that comes when we watch a CONCACAF game where you're just maybe 2 inch closer to the edge of your seat than a normal club game? That's how I feel when I watch a championship. Like that is how I am when I watch a championship game, especially for us.
they're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, if you don't, if you get a buy the zone for the year to get your hook up for Premier League, I highly recommend that you at the very least watch them on replay. All the they have three football league games a week on DAZN, so it's worthwhile to check those out each week, even if you're watching it a few days later. They're highly entertaining games half the time. They usually have one league one game in there as well. From their perspective, they absolutely pushed and were a great story throughout much of the second half of last season, almost did get up to the Premier League. Dunn County is one of the original members of the Football League, the first division where that's when. It's a very historic club with a lot of great history, and in the 70s had some very good history, a different era, of course. I think it's a good move for them, by and large. If you look at their fan reaction online, they seem very excited about it, because if you're a fan of Derby County, you sort of have accepted where you stand in the pecking order of English football, right? Like, you know, maybe you're going to get a scalp here and there. Maybe every 10 years or so, you might get a season up in the Premier League. There's things that you can hope for, but by and large, you never think you're going to get a player that, you know, is of the stature of Wayne Rooney, who is among the most famous English footballers of the last 25 years. So the fact that they're getting him even at his age right now is exciting them, and much in the same way as it excited fans of DC United to get him last year, because as much as we kind of snobbishly look down our nose at the idea of fans being excited by an older guy coming in that they knew from another club, the reality is most people aren't listening to podcasts like us and reading Reddit and on Twitter and doing all that stuff. They're just normal people that are excited by fancy names, right? And that's fine. I don't want to gatekeep those people. They're excited.
The day that Olivier Giroud will sign in MLS, and hopefully with Montreal, will be a day that I will react probably not in a very controlled fashion, because it's the type of player that, like Rooney, that I see him coming eventually to Major League Soccer and be very effective here, and in Olivier Giroud, but that's something else. Today is about Rooney, and we'll see the ramification of his move in the next few months. He will finish the season with DC and then move to Derby County, but the way the season is going in DC, and if it continues to go this way, might be finished earlier than anticipated. Might not have that long playoff run for DC United, and we'll see how they... There's two ways DC will react as a whole. Either win it for Wayne, or no playoffs for Wayne.
Yeah, they're only 4 points above the red line right now, and with 10 games to play, with 9 games to play in their case, and 10 for most teams in the battle right now. So, you know, although there was a bit of separation in the East between Atlanta and New York, both getting wins and the teams below not having great results, there seems to be a bit of a divide between the top three and the bottom sort of 8-4 now. Still is close enough. It's a battle royale in many ways, and, you know, crabs in a bucket, right? They're going to pull them all down as soon as they sort of get to the top. But nonetheless, yeah, as you say, it will be interesting to see how they react to it. It's also, to me, you know, we'll get into what this means for MLS to wrap this up in a second. But to me, there's also an interesting, you know, as a football geek, as someone who, as much as I say that you shouldn't compare leagues, as I do all the time, try and figure out what league stands for the best play, right? Like, yeah. It's human nature.
So don't do what I say. Don't do what I do what I say.
Well, precisely, yeah. And I saw some stats yesterday that did league comparisons that tried to guess what his production would be at Derby compared to DC United and how they sort of factor what MLS is versus this. And it's a big statistical database that looks at players that move and blah, blah, blah. So there's a whole bunch of hashtag math to it. But nonetheless, forget all that. The eyeball test is what most fans want to see. And I want to see what Wayne Rooney looks like on a championship field and compare that to what he looked like in an MLS field. It doesn't mean anything to me, and this is a good segue into what does it mean for MLS. Look, the people that are going to go, "Ho-ho-ho, your league sucks so much, you left on the year," never were paying attention. You were never going to get them anyway.
Yeah,
so I don't think it means anything in that regard. Kevin, you can jump in here if you want.
Well, I think it actually means something positive about MLS. I think it means that Rooney came here like, okay, this might be a bit too difficult for me. I have to adjust my game so much and to be a different type of soccer player. We've talked about this a lot. The time you have on the ball in MLS versus the time you have on the ball in the Premiership or in the Championship We're talking about seconds of difference. You might have 2-3 seconds on the ball before the defender makes a move. The defender in the Championship or Premier League, and that's simplifying it, maybe oversimplifying it, but it's to illustrate the point. The defender will look at your hips, will make sure that he doesn't get burned by a step over, will give you a second more to not be burned and be megged, maybe on national television. In Major League Soccer, he's going to tackle you. He's running towards you, and when he gets to you, he tackles you. Your name is Wayne Rooney, Didier Drogba, or Li Wen. I'm tackling you. And we're seeing this in Major League Soccer. Stars that are used to having a lot of time on the ball have to find other ways to be effective with quick movement, the run, the pace, and then be able to find opportunities to score. Wayne Rooney did, but it might take a bit more out of him than he wanted to. And then he's like, okay, I got an opportunity to go back to Europe, be paying in Euro, and be able to plan my post-career in my manager role with Derby County, but also found a brand of soccer, a brand of football that I'm a bit more familiar with.
Sure. Yeah, I think that there's a reverse thing. Let's use a basketball analogy here. You look at like sort of NBA players that go to play in Europe. They sometimes struggle to adjust to it because there's slightly different rules. They're interpreted slightly differently. There's a lot of savvy sort of veteran players that know how to play the dark arts a little bit better. And I think that's the big difference between the bigger European clubs, leagues, and MLS, is that there's a lot of dark arts that they're not used to. And you mentioned that they're going to get tackled. They're going to get tackled, not entirely legally a lot, too. They get hacked.
Exactly. Like, Hack-a-Wayne.
Look at a star's legs. Yeah, Hack-a-Wayne. Yeah, look at their legs at the end of the game. It's absurd. And you see the frustration. Like, you see it firsthand. Like, you know, the little Seba Jovinko with his hands in the air. And in his defense, he was getting hacked. In his not defense, he should have gotten used to it after 3 years. You know, it wasn't going to change. So there you go. I mean, I disagree that it should happen, but it does.
It does.
For a star, it could be a bit of an adjustment period, I'm sure.
There's a lot of things in this world, Dwayne, that we don't agree should happen. And happen, some of them on a daily basis to some places in the world, but it still happens. Doesn't matter if we agree or not, we got to deal with it.
Well, yeah, there's the your nirvana and then there's reality, and you got to live in reality. But at any rate, no, look, I wasn't surprised that he did well. I was one of the few people that thought that it was a good signing on the field last year. I do think that it maybe didn't. I think so. Basically, my summary of Wayne Rooney's time is that it was, even though short, it was a very effective time on the field. And DC United fans, for the year and a half that they had, should appreciate that. Did it work out in a championship?
Yeah.
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
Although the East is so wide open that God only knows. you know, if they could get running, they could. Like there's 8 teams in the East that could win it right now. Like,
sure.
Forget picking out who's going to be in the MLS Cup final. I don't know. No one does. They're lying if they tell you otherwise.
Well, that's why they play the game, because no one knows what's going to happen until you play the games. But for Wayne Rooney, Dwayne, let's just use a scale of Steven Gerrard equals 1 as a designated player. So it did not go that well. So 1 will be Steven Gerrard. And 10 would be like a Roy Keane, a Robbie Keane, or a Marco De Vaio, Piatti, Drogba type of situation where it really worked out. Like, that's a scale. Where do you put Wayne Rooney? I will go and I'll give you the easy answer. I'll let it for you. For me, he's similar to a Lampard with more production. If Lampard would have scored more in a shorter period of time, it would have been similar. I think Rooney has a better record in Major League Soccer than Pirlo, than other designated player that didn't work out, like Gio Dos Santos. I would take Wayne Rooney over Gio Dos Santos. But still, you needed more time to be considered a true great DP in the history of this league. A year and a half is not enough. He was a good player with a good time in Major League Soccer. So, higher than Gerrard, of course. Higher than Lampard, but lower than the De Vaio, than, I would say, a Keane or a Beckham.
Yeah, the two best, Keane, Jovinko, are the two best DPs I think this league has seen over the course of the time. Wasn't here long enough to be in that conversation, I think. So Joaquin with me would slightly edge Jovinko for that conversation. But that's a different topic for a day where we don't have much more soccer to talk about. I'm going to compare him to another CFP player, and you know where I'm going when I say this. And I know a lot of people are going to reject this outright because they view this signing as an abject failure, but they're not objectively looking at the signing, what happened on the pitch. And that, of course, is Jermaine Defoe. Jermaine Defoe performed on the pitch until he got hurt. So for the short period of time he was on there, he was very similar in the sense that he revitalized the attention of TFC in the market. DC, same thing with Wayne Rooney. Both English internationals, Wayne was slightly better. Both as an English international, his club career, and his career in MLS. So I'm not going to put him below Defoe, but I think it's very similar, just a little bit more. It's what Defoe would have been had he stayed for a year and a half, I think, and had been healthy. I think that's what Wayne Rooney did. It's about that level. On the pitch, as I said, he was very good. It was just for such a short period of time that it's hard to rank him more than just a blip in the overall scheme of things, and that's unfortunate, and that's the one area where if you're DC United, you know, I don't think it hurts MLS as a whole in any real way. I think there is an argument to be made that DC United, which is a club that struggles to get attention in a market that, you know, the Capitals are just, you know, a year and a half away from the Stanley Cup and are still very relevant in that market. The Redskins are always relevant in that market. The Nationals, I'm sorry, Kevin, but the Nationals have a lot of star power there. The college system is huge in that area. Like, DC United is so far down the pecking order, and Wayne Rooney sort of put them off. So this is the one thing that I think it does suffer, is that these people that only tangentially pay attention to soccer in DC United are seeing him leave now and go, well, what's wrong there? There's no point for me paying attention. But again, maybe we're never going to get the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll keep an eye, and we'll see if with the money freed in the upcoming window, because this one's closing soon, tomorrow at 8. If you haven't announced your transfer by tomorrow, 8 p.m., well, it's too late. Well, not announced, but if you haven't signed it by tomorrow, 8 p.m., it is too late in Major League Soccer for out-of-league transfers. So this puts Montreal on the clock, too, for the presence of Bojan Krejcic, but apparently he's arriving in Montreal tonight. So we'll see how that signing or that rumor continues and maybe gets confirmed in the next 24 hours. Let's move to the U.S. Open Cup. The Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup continues tonight, Dwayne, with the quarterfinals being over, semifinals starting tonight, Orlando, Atlanta at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, and tomorrow at 8 p.m. the second semifinal, Minnesota United versus the Portland Timbers. Two good and very fascinating games in the U.S. Open Cup, the semifinal tonight and tomorrow night, available on ESPN3, I believe, if not on ESPN's website or their Go app.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the point where U.S. Open Cup starts to become real for a lot of MLS teams. And we start to see them take it full, two wins away, right, at this point. So it's hard to not take it fully seriously. And the run-up to here, a lot of teams are trying to go heavy rotation. When you're looking at the game tonight, Orlando and Atlanta, this is one that you should, if you're going to watch one of them, if you're only going to watch one MLS Cup or one US Open Cup, pardon me, game all year, this is probably the one to pick. You've got the rivalry factor there. You've got Orlando, which you have to know is desperate to get to a final, to actually stamp their, you know, put a stamp down and say that we are a real team. We're a big boy team now, right? They have done nothing in Major League Soccer. As we well know, we joked about it at the All-Star game. The first thing they won was the All-Star skills competition, right?
So, we're so mean, but we're so right as well.
Yeah, and Atlanta at the same time won a place of who they do, even though they're much younger. For those who don't know, Orlando predates MLS in terms of that as being a club, whereas Atlanta, there's a lot of rivalry there. It's like big brother, little brother stuff going on. There's Southern rivalry going on. There's a lot happening there. It really is a spicy rivalry.
It's big brother. No, it's big stepbrother that was married to a different parent. And that parent was just a regular parent. But the new stepbrother, stepmother or stepfather, depending on the situation, that comes into the relationship, well, they're rich. And they're part of the blank family. And they brought money. So this is what your family would have looked like if you would have had a step-parent that was rich. So that's one of the dichotomy of the Orlando-Atlanta relationship. Orlando wishes they had an Arthur Blank. Who doesn't?
One brother went with Arthur Black, the new dad, and they stayed back with the old family that still isn't functional, basically, in many ways. So there's a lot of rivalries there going on across the board. Anyway, it's a spicy matchup, as I was saying, and it should be a fun one nonetheless. I think for Orlando, and if you're a TFC fan listening to this, we do obviously have a lot of Canadian listeners. If you're a TFC listening to this, this is a big advantage for TFC this weekend, even though TFC plays on Wednesday against Ottawa. I suspect that Orlando is going to go all in tonight and may even sacrifice the rotation for the weekend because they're still quite a ways behind, really, a playoff spot. It might be a bit much, and they might put all the eggs in this basket. And I think they probably should put all the eggs in this basket, to be honest with you, right? So it's a bit of an advantage there. Atlanta, I think if it was any other team, you know, the fact that they seem to be trending upwards, they might put more attention on MLS. But I think that they now feel they're pretty safe for a playoff squad. They're pretty safe for a home date. And they think that if they can get a home date, they probably believe they can get on a run and get back to the final and then see what happens against whoever they match up with. So I suspect this one will be best on best tonight. Minnesota Portland, Kevin.
I was just going to say for Atlanta, I think they're going to do some squad rotation but still be able to beat Orlando. And that tells you a bit more about Atlanta. And by the way, Josef Martínez will not play tonight for Atlanta United, so there will be some rotation for sure. The hottest striker in the league right now is not available for tonight's game, so maybe they do some rotation but still have a very good squad for Atlanta tonight. Minnesota-Portland, it is a fascinating matchup, and you know what? I would love for the Loons to win something. At least make it to the final. Why not? You have a brand new stadium. You have the support behind you now. You have a good season. Your best season so far in Major League Soccer. Why not? Why not beat the Portland Timbers in the semifinal? Why not try to play for a trophy for Minnesota?
Of course. Yeah. Portland's never won this thing either. It obviously was a big deal for the rival Seattle to win it several times in the early years. So I think this one matters to both of them as well. But I do think that when you look at Portland just outside the playoff race and Minnesota's climbing and getting to maybe possibly being in a competition to clinch a home date for themselves, which I think considering their early history would be remarkable, right? I think that both of those clubs will have kind of at least one of their eyes on MLS play when they're making their decisions tonight, and they'll, you know, try to sort of manage this a little bit more than others. But you're right, Minnesota, those fans went through a lot, although, you know, you're talking to someone in Toronto here. 2 years of soccer doesn't really mean a lot to me. Try a decade, guys. Anyway,
it's not a competition. It's not a competition of who has it worse in life. Both are okay at the same time. It's okay.
Hashtag first world problems. So it's been a lot of struggles. But nonetheless, I do think that they'll probably have an eye to manage the game a little bit. Speaking of managing the games, Kevin, maybe we should move to what exactly Montreal and Toronto are going to do in the midweek. Start with you.
The Canadian Championship continues tomorrow night, and we'll talk about more about the Canadian Championship as well in our Two Solitude Soccer podcast that will be recorded later this afternoon. And Dwayne, we have a big guest on the show today. Commissioner of the Canadian Premier League joins us later today. David Klenican joins us on the Two Solitudes podcast to talk about the Canadian Premier League. And we have a few questions. If you're listening to us live, make sure you use the hashtag AskTheCommish. And you can give us a few questions for Commissioner Klenican. But the Canadian Premier League, Major League Soccer, and the USL will be represented tomorrow night in the semifinal, the leg one of two. Montreal Cavalry FC at Stade Saputo, Ottawa Fury, Toronto FC in Toronto. The first game is in Ottawa.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, Ottawa is to move on Wednesday night, and then Montreal plays Calgary. Cavalry, we should say, I guess. Toronto, I believe, will heavily rotate this game. I mean, the history tells us that Greg Vanney has always approached the first leg of these games against even in MLS competition to manage and try and maintain, you know, keep it as low as possible. 0-0 would be perfectly suiting them, especially with Orlando coming in the weekend. They need to put up what to Orlando's next. They need to get 3 points to quiet the chattering masses here in Toronto, which have lost their mind, in my opinion, but that's a different topic. Anyway, they need those 3 points
if they get 3 points in the weekend, they're going to be climbing above, and that's going to be much more important to them. Well, I do think that, well, I wonder if you got inside Greg Manny's head and got inside TFC Brass's head, whether they really want to play CCL again. They've done 2 years in a row. Even though they play very long this year, it still means you have to start your training camp earlier. It still means that you have less time to sort of get together before you're running on full throttle. It means you're putting a lot of strain at being field early in the year. Like, maybe if you get deep in their psyche, they might think a year off from that might not be the worst thing. But nonetheless, the players probably are going to go out there and compete. I'm more curious, though, Kevin, what Montreal is going to do with Cavalry coming to town, because Cavalry has proven, literally proven, that they can beat an MLS team, albeit bad
Vancouver?
One.
But still an MLS
how
team.
Will the Impact approach that first leg?
Well, I think Montreal needs to have a very good first leg. I know it's easy to say, and I'm not trying to find a cop out here, but in the other New York 9 matchup, if you go back to the earlier round in the Canadian Championship, just one more round ago, Montreal finished at home. So they had the opportunity of getting the deciding leg at home and got the result 1-0. That made sure that Montreal was going through on aggregate, winning 3-2 because of the first leg 2-2 on the road. For this time around, they finished in Calgary in an environment that's very different to what they're used to. Yes, it'll be a bit similar to what they faced in York 9, but again, Spruce Meadows, let's just put it this way. It's unique in the way that it is configured. And we'll see if that affects the psyche of the Montreal Impact players. But if I'm the Impact, I know I have a big, big week game tomorrow night, Wednesday, versus Cavalry at home. The weekend, you got the Chicago game on the road, and then you're traveling straight to Calgary after the game in Chicago. You figure you can maybe get a result against Chicago, but you just got whipped 6-3. Last weekend versus Colorado. So that Chicago game becomes more important than the Canadian Championship. Or as important, if not both really important. So there's going to have to be some difficult decisions taken. But this game against Cavalry, if you want to have a bit of a easier time after the game in Chicago, you need a result tomorrow night. You need to win 2-0 at least, in my mind, to give yourself some breathing room. And you need to not concede at home with Cavalry. So then it gives you a lot of more options. A lot more scenarios are possible heading into the second leg. And let's not forget the Chicago game in between those two games of the Canadian Championship. So that's how I would approach the Canadian Championship game from tomorrow. A lineup, full squad, trying to win by a few goals. Chicago, try your best, full squad for 45 to 50 minutes. Do changes if you need to. And if you got the two results that you wanted to, heading into the second leg in Calgary, you can do some rotation without having too much fear of a bad result coming to you.
Fair enough. I think from a more broad stroke global perspective, this two-legged tie situation might be the first thing that go is when the Voyageurs Cup expands in the near future. I suspect that the Major League Soccer teams have to manage two games as opposed to one when you're talking about comparing it to the U.S. Open Cup, and that's why I always sort of get my back up when American fans like to dismiss the Canadian Championship as being somehow easy to win. They're two-leg ties, and
it's harder. There's actually more games to win this time around than the U.S. Open Cup, which is 7 games. You win the championship, and now it's 8. For some teams in the Canadian Championship, but continue.
Yeah, exactly. So that two-legged tie situation, and as this competition grows, I do think they probably will move more to the U.S. Open Cup, but it does create some unique sort of debates and challenges within the Canadian teams. They have to decide what they're going to prioritize a little bit more, and I think for both Montreal and Toronto's case, they will never say it publicly and overtly as I'm about to. I think that they both are going to absolutely prioritize the league, and you know, honestly, I think they should. There is a very small minority of TFC fans and Impact fans too that will scream at the sky that Voyageurs Cup is more important, but they're just not representative of the majority. And what they're more
they're
of
allowed
fans to listen to this show.
I was gonna say they're right? Allowed, they're a loud minority, which we say hello to right now. Thank you for listening to our show. Thank you for giving us support on Patreon. But pragmatically speaking, right now, especially with Montreal's position in the standings, it's precarious. And even for TFC, it is precarious at this moment. They both wish they had more of a cushion for the impact above that red line, and for Toronto to have more cushion or less cushion to be above that red line. So both teams do need that result in the league. But that will be fascinating to see how they approach the Canadian Championship. And I do expect some rotation on both just because of injuries on the Montreal side too, and some as well on Toronto. But it is Cup midweek, and we do love our Cup games.
And look, yeah, I stood on the field with the confetti coming down on my head as Toronto won the Cup last year.
I was there two years ago, and there's still pictures of me on my phone, on the field, and behind me you have like Seba, Bradley, Altidore celebrating, and it's like, I felt like there was people pointing at me and laughing, which there was. Hello, Dino. But yeah, that's what it was. It was not as fun as for you or other people to be in the confetti.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, a long history of me in that club, good and bad. But nonetheless, more to the point, you see the emotion on those players when they win it. They want to win the damn thing. And that comes to mind every time. Seeing these internationals that have no damn clue who the Voyagers are, celebrating with the cup that they bought is always something that I enjoy. That said, it's still a cup, and it's still, in the global perspective of football, matters exactly the same amount as cups matter in other countries, which is obviously always under the league. What makes MLS, of course, unique is that the MLS Cup is the most important one, and it is because the league is structured that way. But this is a parallel competition of a cup, which is a bit different than a playoff, and it is definitely second choice. But if it's an Impact Toronto final again, you know, they're both going to win. Neither team is going to want to lose to their biggest rival, right?
Like, no.
That is likely how this thing is going to end, as fun as it's been. But it'll be fun, and I'm glad to see Calgary in there. And you know, I think anyone who does not live in the 514 area code is probably going to be cheering for Calgary on that day, because people like upset, and probably even some in that area code will be cheering for them. But nonetheless, the Impact probably will have enough, and TFC has demonstrated in the past that they generally have enough to get past Ottawa, and we're likely looking at yet another Impact TFC final.
And on that note, we'll say goodbye for today. You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame, and we'll be back later this afternoon with the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for patrons only, with Commissioner David Clanican of the Canadian Premier League joining us to talk about the Canadian Premier League, Canadian Championship, and more topics and issues that you like, covering Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only on our Patreon feed, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. A toonie a month, $2 a month, will give you access to this show that will be dropping later this afternoon with Commissioner David Clanican. If you are listening live or early with the podcast version, make sure you get your question in with the hashtag at AskTheCommish. Tag Dwayne or tag myself to make sure we get the question, and we will ask the best questions to Commissioner Clanican later today. But on that note, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. You can find the podcast version anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe to always get the latest episode of our show. And also, make sure you go to sportspodcastnetwork.com for the archives of all the shows of the last 5 years. And until tomorrow, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.